Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we go back to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, and we bring in of the Bleacher Report, Greg Schwartz. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. Bring me on today.
Hey, man. Listen, man, it's been a long time. We had to connect again. Basketball season is in full swing. We had an opportunity to let a couple weeks go by, and I had to call you up and catch up with you and get you in the barbershop, give you a haircut real quick.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No doubt. Cavs started back up, and it's crazy because I don't know. You know, they had a game against the, Bulls, got a win against the Bulls, got a win against the Pacers. Lost to the Pacers last night in Indiana last night. What are your thoughts early on about this team? It seems to be that Tristan Thompson, I don't know if he's going to average 20-some-odd points, but Tristan Thompson seems to be hitting the mid-range hook now. I don't know if he has an offensive game, so to speak, but Tristan Thompson's been playing well. What are your thoughts about this team? The two new guards are the guard Garland and you know how he's been playing with Colin Sexton. And what are your thoughts on the Cavs early on in this season?
Yeah, I think there's a good vibe around the team right now. I think it's, you know, last year obviously was rough from a number of standpoints, but I think just coming into the year, you kind of knew what to expect. This is a team that's still going to finish with around 25 wins. They're not going to be a playoff team, but they're enjoyable to watch. And I think that's a big step up from last year, where you kind of entered in with a lot of veterans and you were kind of stuck between, are we going to be competitive? Are we going to rebuild? You know, with the exception of John Henson and Dylan Windler, knock on wood, this has been a pretty healthy team so far. So it's nice to see all those pieces out there. Tristan's looked the best he's ever looked in 8 or 9 years in Cleveland now, averaging 17 points, 11 rebounds, almost two blocks a game. And we've seen him a couple times, over 20 points. You know, it's part of it, I think, is health. Part of it is he's being asked to play a bigger role. And let's be honest, part of it is a contract year, too. So he knows he's got to get paid again this summer. So I think we're going to see a bigger year from him. Kevin Love is second in the entire NBA in rebounding right now. 16.8 rebounds a game. I think we've seen his playmaking kind of unlocked for the first time, whether it be with him passing to guards, with him finding Tristan in the center. And I think that's really been an underrated aspect of his game that we're finally getting to see. Darius Garland's gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. He's only shooting about 30% for the year. Last night, I think he was 0 for 10 overall. And I think with him, you see the flashes, you see the kind of under control playmaking, the heads up basketball, we've seen him a couple times draw that extra defender and find an open man on either in the paint for an alley-oop or on the perimeter for a three pointer. But I think we need to remember that this is a guy, it's not like he played 30 games in college. I mean, he basically hasn't even learned the college game yet because he was there for four full games. So I think we need to kind of, you know, hold back our expectations for him. But I think you've seen enough of his ability kind of shine through at moments that I think he's going to be special, especially later on in the season.
You know, talking about with Garland, do you have an idea what the backcourt could be? One of the things I've noticed early on is perimeter defense, especially from Garland and Sexton. You know, they may have some trouble, especially with bigger guards. What do you think they're going to look like as a tandem, especially when you get to a point when you look to as their growth and development with you got two smallish guards in the backcourt?
Yeah, I think that was going to be a big concern coming in. They're both about 6'2", 6'3". I got a chance to talk to Darius on opening night, and I'd say he's a legit 6'3". I'm 6'2", and he was, without shoes on, he was taller than I am. So he's a legit 6'3", I would say. So he's got a little bit more size in person than it kind of looks like on the court. That's one question I asked him on media day. I said, you know, when you guys are both on the court, offensively, there shouldn't be any problems. But I said, which one of you guards shooting guards? You know, which one of you guys is going to take on that bigger matchup? If you have to play, you know, a team with a 6'6", 6'7" shooting guard, I said, which one of you is going to guard him? And he gave me an answer that, you know, either of us, we feel like either of us can guard any position. You know, yeah, we give up a little bit of size, but, you know, they're going to bring the energy, the intensity. They have the athleticism to guard him. Colin Sexton is extremely athletic. I think Darius, you know, once he's all the way back, 100% back from his knee, which I'm not sure that he is yet, I think he's going to be better defensively as well. And yeah, they're going to give up size on a lot of nights. I think long term, and you know, this is just this isn't sourced or anything, but my belief is I think long term, I think Colin's going to be the sixth man on this team. I think he fits that role better. I think that's not a role that fits him this year because you have Jordan Clarkson, a guy that's basically the same type of player. But I think long-term, Darius is going to be the point guard of this team. I think they want Kevin Porter to kind of eventually take that starting shooting guard job with his better size, about 6'6". And I think long-term, I think Colin projects to be the sixth man because he's got that bull in a china shop mentality where he's just, you know, he puts the ball down and he gets that tunnel vision. He goes straight to the basket and he's either going to get fouled or he's going to score. And that's kind of the instincts you need from a sixth man. But I don't know that it necessarily translates to a starting point guard in this league. So I think long-term, that's probably the plan for the Cavs.
When you look at it, and we're talking to Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When you look at it, what do you believe? And we talked about Colin Sexton a little bit. You know, you look at him last year averaging somewhere around 20, 21 points after in the last few games down the stretch of the season. In his game, what do you think it translates to? And what part of the season do you look, you know, kind of look to him to show you this season as far as, you know, the growth in his career? What do you think his upside can be? And, you know, what do you think you want to see him improve on this year? And what can he actually possibly be as far as a player in this league?
Well, right now he leads the team in scoring at 18.2 points per game, and I wanted to see if his outside shooting was sustainable because last year he was over 40%, and coming out of college, he only shot about 32-33% from three in college. So I want to see if that shooting was sustainable, and so far it is. He's at 40% already through five games this season. And I know that's a small sample size, but he's shown nothing to indicate that he's not going to be, you know, at least a 38-39% three-point shooter throughout his career, and that's a huge skill to have, especially when you're only 6'2". But I feel like he plays bigger than his size. He has no fear when he goes into the paint. You know, he will charge into bigger opponents and throw shots up and draw contact. And, you know, he has that aggressiveness that you need. I think that when you play Garland and Sexton together, you know, they have the same size, yes, but their games are so different. Darius is more patient. He's more of a playmaker. He's looking for others. Colin's more of a scorer, and he's got that energy and that emotion that you love to see. Already this year, I think he's become a better off-ball player. We've seen a couple backdoor cuts and of him taking advantage of a defender kind of falling asleep, and he had that one big dunk over Wendell Carter where, you know, he kind of looked, Zach LaVine turned his back when he was guarding him. He took advantage of that. I mean, that wasn't a scripted play, and you had Kevin Love find him for that dunk. I thought that was really impressive. All last year, he only had seven dunks, and this is a guy that won a high school dunk contest. And I feel like we just didn't see that athleticism as much last year. And already this year, he's got two or three in the first five games. And, you know, maybe that doesn't mean a lot, but the fact that, you know, dunks are a process of aggression and timing a lot of times for smaller guards. And we've seen that. I think he's become that better off-ball player. And, you know, I still feel long-term he's probably a sixth man because he doesn't give you the playmaking. He doesn't give you the rebounding. He's still not a great defender yet, but I think he certainly has the tools to be a good defender as his career progresses.
When you look at it, one of the things that this team you said might not be, a team that's definitely not going to make the playoffs. For this team, in the first few games, I was quietly surprised with the way they came out and played at home against Indiana. You know, they didn't have – they go through spurts where they just can't hit shots sometimes. You know, looking at some of the pieces and parts on his team, they don't seem to have a consistent score where you can say, hey, we're going to give him the ball in crunch time and he's going to give us a bucket where he can create and just get his buckets. What do you, you know, Jetty Osman just did get a decent long-term extension of, I think it's 4 years. What are your thoughts on him? And do you think that he's a long-term answer at the three position, or do you think that if they found another player, they would move from Jetty being a starter, or do the Cavs really like him?
No, the Cavs love Jetty. I mean, that's the reason they got that deal done. It was 4 years, about $30 million. The last year of that deal is non-guaranteed, so the team can choose if they want to pay him for that. And I think, you know, Colby Altman's done a really good job of structuring his contracts, especially with Larry Nance, where his salary decreases a little bit every year, where, you know, they have the salary cap space in this year and next year to kind of make those salaries a little bit higher. And then if you can get a player to agree to, you know, decrease his salary year after year, and start with the higher salary, I mean, that's huge for your salary cap moving forward, because the cap's only going to go up, and now you're saving money on that player's salary every year. I mean, that's a rare occurrence, and Kobe's got Larry Nance to do that so far. He's got Chetty Osman to do that so far. Kevin Love, the last year of his contract, goes from 31 down to 28.9. I mean, that's huge. I mean, just in those three players right there, you could sign a good role player, whereas before, you know, most salaries go up that 8 to 10% every year. So just the structure of that contract, I think, makes their roster flexibility and financial flexibility even that much better. Long term with Jetty, I don't think he's a starting small forward. And, you know, maybe that's mean to say for a guy that, you know, he hustles, and I think he's a decent playmaker, and so far this season he's shooting 52% from three. But I just don't see it. I don't think he has the ceiling of what you want a starting small forward to be. And maybe that's just, you know, me watching LeBron James for so many years here and having that high expectation. But I think he's a solid 6, 7, 8 guy. I think he's always going to be a rotation. He can play the 2, the 3, the 4. I think he's an excellent guy to have on a team, especially off a bench in a rotation. He's a great character guy. Everybody in that team likes him. But long term, is he going to be, you know, a contender for an all-star team every year as a starting small forward? No, he's not. And that's just being honest. But I still like him. I think that's a good contract for him. And I think he's going to be a good role player off the bench once they find somebody with a little bit higher ceiling to be their starting small forward.
Talking to Greg Schwartz on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's go around the league a little bit. You know, we look at out there in L.A., you know, you got Lakers, you got the Lakers, and you got the Clippers. The Clippers, man, you know, they don't even got Paul George back. But one of the things that jumps out at me with them is, man, they got the ability to look like they can be a stellar defensive team. They look like they can be crazy. I mean, you got Montrezl Harrell, you got Patrick Beverley, you got Kawhi out there. You don't even have Paul George yet. And looking at that that game from opening night, and you look at the teams from LA, that I was just so impressed at the level that they were actually playing at. It just felt like a playoff style environment. I think they were playing at a really high level just to be like opening night. The intensity was there, the atmosphere was there. You know, what are your thoughts on that matchup out there in LA with the Clippers and Lakers and the first iteration of that little rivalry that's brewing out there?
Yeah, I mean, with the opening night game for the Lakers, I mean, how disappointing is that you lose to the Clippers and you know, oh yeah, they have Paul George who didn't even play a minute. Like, I mean, that's the game you kind of got to win. I know it's early in the season, you know, you don't have to win games, but just for your mentality, you know, if this is two teams that end up meeting in the playoffs, are you going to remember that, man, we couldn't even beat these guys without Paul George? Like, when he comes back, how are we supposed to beat him then? You know, this team is just perfectly built with role players and a supporting cast to support a superstar, and you're putting two superstars on there. You know, Kawhi Leonard obviously can lead a team to a championship by himself. He's done it twice on two different teams. And it'll be going into the season, I picked the Clippers to win the NBA title. And I said, you know, they might not finish with the best record in the league because Kawhi Leonard's going to rest at times, as he's done already this season. You're not going to have Paul George for the first couple weeks of the year, and then you're going to rest him occasionally. And I think record-wise, it's just not going to be there because of that. They're probably not going to get the one seed. But once they start the playoffs and they have a healthy Kawhi Leonard who's been resting all year like he did last year in Toronto, we saw how that turned out. You have a Paul George who, you know, got off to a fantastic start last year and then was having shoulder problems. Well, now he got surgery on those shoulders and now he's resting. If you can manage his load and you can get that same kind of Paul George that you had the beginning of last year for the Oklahoma City Thunder, if you can get him in the playoffs, now you have the perfect set of role players around those guys. If one of those guys has an off night offensively, well, you got Lou Williams off the bench to score you 20. Mm. Montrezl Harrell's putting up 19 points a game. Jermichael Green scoring double figures. Landry Shamet's going to be an excellent three-point shooter. Patrick Beverley. I mean, you just have role player after role player after role player that they know what's expected of them, and then they fill that role. And that's not always the case on a team with, you know, a bunch of egos and superstars. I think these guys last year, they proved, you know, they had the coaching and they had a lot of players in pieces in place, but you needed that one kind of superstar to get out of the first round. And now they have two. So I think the Clippers, when it's all said and done, are clearly going to be the best team in the NBA. They have the potential to be the best defensive team in the NBA. And, oh, by the way, right now they're the third best offensive team in the NBA. And Paul George has not played a game. And this is a guy that scored 28 points per game last year. So what does that tell you? And if you go across the Lakers, I mean, let's give them some respect too. They're 4-1. They're sitting at the top of the West right now. They're a very good team as well. The only team they've lost to so far is the Clippers. Anthony Davis, averaging 29 points per game, had a 40-20 game. I made the prediction this year that this is going to be the first year where you're going to see LeBron James is not going to lead his own team in scoring. It's going to be the first time it ever happened. I think he's willing to put AD first in the offensive pecking order. I think he knows that, look, you know, AD's 26 years old. He's just entering his prime. This is a guy that we need to go through. I'm okay taking a step back. And, you know, they're just getting Kyle Kuzma back. They have some shooters on that team. I still think they're a piece or two away from being a serious title contender, but as long as they have LeBron healthy and AD healthy, that they're going to be a problem, and they're probably going to be a top four seed in the West when it's all said and done.
Hey, man, Greg, great catching up with you, talking to you again. Let's do it real soon.
All right, that sounds good.
All right, appreciate you, man. That's Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.